Welcome to a new episode of Agent Provocateur. I'm Alan Walsh with co-host Adam Wild. How are you, Adam?
I'm great, Alan. How are you?
Doing great. Really excited about our guest today. Our guest today is the first Australian to play in the NHL. He was born in Wales, grew up in Australia. He moved to the Czech Republic in 2007, joining HC Vitkovice. In 2011, he became the first Australian to play for a professional senior team in Europe. Also was the youngest player in the Czech League at that time. In 2013, he actually played a full season in the American Hockey League with the Hershey Bears, a full year before being drafted into the National Hockey League. Based on his season in the American League, he was drafted in the third round by the Washington Capitals in the 2014 NHL draft. Current St. Louis Blue forward, Nathan Stormy Walker.
What an intro. Thank you.
How's that, buddy?
That was good. That was really good. Thank you very much.
Awesome. It's great to have you with us today. Since we talked about you coming on, I've been really excited to tell everybody your story. So let's start with how you got from Wales to Australia to the Czech Republic. Why don't we start there first?
I think my parents actually went to Australia when they were younger for a holiday. And I think they just ended up liking it so much that they, you know, they wanted that kind of lifestyle for my brother and I. And then when I was obviously born in Wales, and then when I was two, we all moved down to Australia then. We didn't really pick up hockey right away. You know, I kind of picked it up as I was five or six or so. We started playing inline hockey first there, and then kind of transitioned to ice a few years later.
Why don't you tell us about ice hockey in Australia, what it's like, how many arenas there are, how many people are playing?
Yeah, I think they got about 30 rinks now, which is pretty good. I think when I first started out, there was only 20 or so. So I think the more rinks we can get, the better. But, it's definitely a slowly growing sport. It's obviously a lot easier to go and get a rugby ball and a pair of boots and kind of kick the ball around instead of trying to find some skates and ice rink to practice on. The hockey community down there is pretty small, but it's definitely a proud one.
So how did you do it? How did you pick up hockey? How did you get all your equipment? What was that whole process like?
I don't really know. It's just kind of clicked. We started playing off inline hockey first, which I think was a lot cheaper than ice hockey at the time. And we had a rink that was like 10 minutes away from us. So we just started playing there. And then the closest ice rink was about 45 minutes away. So we checked out a D-League one Sunday morning, and we kind of got hooked on it then. So my brother and I decided to, try ice hockey as well as inline hockey. And it just kind of came to thing. And inline hockey kind of fizzled out, and then ice hockey kind of took over the main role there.
And what's the pro league like in Australia?
It's obviously not up to the standard of, American leagues, nor European leagues. I think it's just tough, given the hours that you have ice and the amount of games that you get to play, it's not anywhere near the competitive level like it is over here or anything like that. But everyone still works their nuts off. I go and skate with them when I'm back home in the summertime, and you see guys laying out blocking shots in practice, and they got to wake up at 5 a.m. to go to work, and with their proper job that actually pays the bills, not hockey. So it's, I got so much time and so much respect for everyone who plays hockey back home, and the way that they play, they play like they are playing for the Stanley Cup. And it's, I think when I go home, it kind of humbles me a little bit to see how much people back home actually love the sport.
I got to ask. So you said the closest rink is 40 minutes away. I guess that makes practices and games pretty difficult. Or were you playing ice hockey there? Like, was your dad driving you 40 minutes to practice? 40 minutes?
Well, yeah. So that was the closest rink. The rink that we actually played at was an hour and a half away.
Oh,
Okay. Yeah. Wow. We had, my brother and I had a lot of friends that kind of through the inline hockey world transitioned over ice hockey, but they were playing for that team. So, you know, my parents like, well, listen, if you want to play with your buddies, you know, it's just, it's going to have to be an hour and a half drive. So, you know, Thursday night, I was 10, 12 years old, and Thursday night we'd be traveling and it'd be an hour and a half there. And my mom and dad would take me, or, another friend of mine's parents would take us out. I mean, we wouldn't get back until midnight, and then you'd be up at 6 a.m. for school the next day. So, it was a bit of a grind, but it was, you know, it's definitely well worth it in the end.
So how did you make it from Australia to Czech Republic?
We had a Slovakian coach. I would have been under 11s, under 13s, maybe. And he kind of came up to me and said, listen, if you want to play hockey as a job when you're older, you have to leave Australia now. You have to go over there while you're still in the developing phase, you know, of learning the basic skills, I guess, if you will. But you got to leave now and go over and kind of see what you got against kids that are your age, you know, in a hockey renowned country. So he set up a tryout with me for 1 week. And then after that week, you know, I ended up making the team, which was pretty sweet.
And how old were you?
I was 13 then.
And did anybody go with you to Czech Republic, or were you on your own?
Just my mom came with me for the first week, and then she left. I was with a billet family. But they obviously didn't speak any English, and I didn't speak any Czech. So it was pretty tough. You know, it was a huge culture shock, like just from everything, from the way that you would, you know, go to school or make food and talk to people and everything like that. It was definitely,
climate too. It'd be colder, wouldn't it?
It was way cold. Yeah. It was beaches too in the middle of Europe.
Yeah. No kidding. So the thing about, I remember about being 11, 12 years old is being awkward and uncomfortable and didn't have a lot of confidence. And I really wanted girls to notice me. That was about it. That's all I kind of really, my world revolved around. I cannot imagine leaving home, leaving the continent, going to a different hemisphere and doing what you did. Did you have to learn Czech? Did you pick it up quickly? How did you fit in school? Like, I want to know everything.
I mean, I picked up Czech, I think, fairly quickly. I did some private lessons on the side too to kind of speed that up. But I think just speaking Czech in the locker room, kind of hearing that, I would watch movies with like subtitles, so I could kind of learn it that way as well. I just had to kind of learn everything and, you know, go from there. Obviously, I had a lot of help with the billet family that I lived with, and there was a couple of English-speaking parents on the team too who would kind of help me out and take me in for dinner and stuff like that. So it wasn't, I guess I was kind of making out a little bit worse than it was. It wasn't, it wasn't that bad, but it was still pretty tough.
It's bold. That's really bold for an 11, 12-year-old. It's amazing.
Yeah. And what a lot of people don't know is, you know, I was working in Czech Republic, recruiting a lot in the years that Nathan was there. As a 14, 15, 16 year old. And you weren't just a good player back in Czech Republic at that time. You're one of the top point producers on every team and every league you played in, all the way up the line in Czech Republic.
Yeah. I think my first year I was trying out for the under 15s team or something like that. And then I ended up playing my first game with the under 18s team and ended up scoring a hat trick in that first game. And then I kind of stuck with them for the rest of the year. And as I was there year by year, I was playing up a division and, you know, like you said, getting the points kind of, you know, the points were coming with that too. And eventually ended up playing in the men's team there.
Wow. Yeah. And when you played with the men's team, you became the first Australian to play in like the men's senior league anywhere in Europe. And you were also at the time the youngest player, including all Czechs, to play a game in the league that year.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, it was pretty cool because I think at that time, you know, I was only 17 or so, but we had I think it was a 45-year-old on the team, and it was kind of like cool to step back and see like the old school players kind of play. And it was really, it was really unique and really cool to see.
Was there a physical challenge there too? Because, you know, ultimately you just said 45-year-old, so you're playing against grown men and you're not a full grown man yourself. Was there, you know, was it different taking a hit? Was it, you know, you were focusing on different things than you had before? How was that?
Yeah, it was definitely challenging. I mean, I was playing in the juniors, which was like under 20, I think it was under 22s or under 23s. So it was still a big difference, though, right? Yeah, it wasn't overly big. I think the biggest thing was just the hockey sense of everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there was a lot of adjusting to do, but it was great. I mean, they helped me so much. Like the guys on that team were so good to me, and you know, they helped me with a lot of things along the way too.
So you made your way from Czech Republic to North America. You want to talk about that because you ended up, I believe, playing a year in the USHL, and things kind of took off from there on this side of the pond. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah. You know, I had a bit of a slow start in Czech. And I think it was around the new year, I just decided, you know, I think I needed a bit of a change and, you know, went over to the USHL and played the rest of the year there. And yeah, it was pretty good. You know, I think I ended up close to a point a game, and it was kind of nice to get my foot in the door over in North America and, you know, kind of get my face shown off that way. But it was great. I mean, getting adapted to the North American style of hockey and all that kind of good stuff was great.
Right. Now, you have a pretty interesting story about how you ended up playing with the Hershey Bears in the American Hockey League. You want to tell everybody that story?
Yeah. Ended up going to Washington Capitals camp, and I think there must have been an injury in one of the games or practice, and they ended up bumping me up to a second line with Troy Brower and Chandler Stevenson, I believe, and just had a pretty decent game, and then ended up playing again the next night. And ended up having a pretty good camp to finish with, and I believe they wanted to sign me to an NHL deal, but they couldn't because I didn't pass through all the years in my draft. So they ended up signing me to an AHL deal, and then I played in the farm team before they eventually ended up drafting me, you know, the year after.
Yeah. Now, we weren't working together at the time. Full disclosure, I've been representing you for many years, but I did not represent you back then. And the story that I heard was that you had this amazing training camp in Washington as on a ATO, on an amateur tryout agreement. And they wanted to sign you to a contract. And there may have even been a time when there was an agreement and the Capitals didn't realize that you were not eligible to sign an NHL contract at the time they wanted you to.
That was it. I think there was, you know, it was pretty much not all said and done, but, you know, from my understanding is that they wanted to, and we just couldn't because it was part of the rules.
Right.
So they have to draft you the following year, I'm assuming then.
Yes. Yeah. Right. I guess you have to pass through all the years in your draft before you can sign an NHL deal if you're European or something like that. I don't know, some crazy rules.
Right. So we started working together when you were playing in Hershey.
Yeah.
And I remember during the year getting calls from the Capitals. Obviously, you're playing with their farm team. You're playing at a real high level, and any other team in the league could have snagged you away from Washington by drafting you in the next NHL draft. So I was getting calls from Washington on a pretty regular basis, and it was like, any teams call you lately on Nathan? Do you think anybody is going to snag him early before us? And there was an ongoing dialogue, and I remember the night before the draft, speaking with some of the people in Washington and saying, you know, I don't know, you guys, you know, there's a lot of talk about Nathan, and it was just kind of funny and appropriate because you earned it all. That they drafted you in the third round, which is a fairly high round to be drafted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that was great too, to, you know, obviously that was one of the goals that I wanted to tick off in my hockey career was to get drafted. And that was unreal. I remember you actually texting me then as well. And where we live back home, I don't have great service. So I have my phone up in the corner of the room to get service. And I saw my phone light up and, you know, I saw your name pop up there and figured that that was the case that I got drafted. And it was, you know, it was a pretty special moment.
So you were at home in Australia when you found out?
Yeah. Yeah.
How did you celebrate?
We're just watching TV. It was like 3 a.m. in the morning. So it wasn't too much going on.
Oh, I finally got through to you and I heard the celebrating in the background, even when we were talking.
There was only four of us, I think four or five of us. So wasn't too much going on.
What do your parents say to something like that? Obviously they could have never envisioned this. Do you remember what your parents said? Do you remember how they felt about all this?
I don't know. I mean, I can't remember what they said, but I'm sure they were, you know, obviously did the whole "I'm proud of you," mm-hmm. all, you know, the cliche kind of spiel, I guess. But no, it was good fun for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you were, that was a series of firsts, and that made you the first Australian to be drafted by a National Hockey League team. And let's jump to you playing your first NHL game with the Washington Capitals. What do you remember about that?
That was crazy. I mean, I made the team out of camp too, which was cool. And then the whole lead up to the first game, you know, walking down the red carpet, seeing all the fans in front of the building, you know, getting your name called out to skate on the blue line with everyone. And, you know, I had my family there as well. And it was crazy. Like that whole experience, I don't think I'll ever forget, but it was such an incredible experience.
Yeah. And what do you remember most about the game?
Yeah. I ended up having a puck go off my butt, which was
off your butt into the net.
Yeah. You don't want to, you know, you, when you think of your first goal, you think, oh, coming down the wing, maybe a nice shot, but, no, it was good. I mean, obviously you take any goal you can in the NHL, and, you know, for that to be my first one, it was definitely a special one and one that I definitely won't forget.
Yeah. So that made you the first Australian to play in an NHL game and the first Australian to score an NHL goal.
Yeah.
All right. So talk to us a little bit about some of the challenges you've had and some of the things that have gone on from that first game in Washington to where you are right now.
You know, I think a big thing for me in the NHL level was consistency, you know, trying to find that game that I needed to play on a nightly basis. I think that was the hardest thing for me. And I think as I've gotten older and the years have kind of strung together, I think I've slowly starting to find that now. I think that was just the biggest thing, I think, compared to playing the NHL. The NHL is being able to play that same game night in, night out. You know, obviously the AHL it isn't the NHL, so you can kind of, I'm not going to say get away with not having your best game, but it's a little less noticeable, I guess, if you will. But obviously up in the NHL, you know, you need to be at your best 100% of the time. And, you know, like I said, to kind of have that consistency every game.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in talking to some of your teammates in Washington, everyone loved you. And on every team you've played on, talking to teammates, I mean, you're the life of the room and you bring great energy to wherever you go. Do you think that comes naturally to you?
Yeah, 100%. I don't think it's definitely not something that I put on or anything like that. I think it's, you know, when I come into a room and I see a couple of guys, you know, I'm not going to just be like, hi, and kind of walk past them, you know, either be cracking a joke or doing something silly or whatever, having a good time with it. I mean, you know, it's, you're only going to be playing hockey for so long and you don't want to look back and think, shit, you know, maybe I should have made a bit more fun out of it and had fun with it and enjoyed it a little more. You know, I don't want to be doing that. So I'm trying to enjoy every single day and have fun with it all. And, you know, not be goofy, but kind of be goofy at the same time.
What are some of the stories that, you know, I always ask a player when we get together, tell me about some of the things that have happened that, you know, one day you're going to sit there and tell your kids about.
I mean, I think obviously that Stanley Cup run with Washington, I know I didn't play a whole lot, but I think just to be around that atmosphere of the room and the energy of the city, you know, that was obviously pretty special. And then being able to, you know, lift the cup over my head, I think was pretty special. And, you know, I think I'll definitely be telling my kids about that one day. And obviously I think just the life day in, day out of, you know, being an NHL player, I think's, you know, pretty special in itself. You know, the fact that we get to do what we do for a living and, you know, have fun with it at the same time, I think's really special.
You've played on some teams with some absolutely legendary names. So, you know, in Washington, you know, Backstrom, Ovechkin, in Edmonton, you know, McDavid, Draisaitl, and now in St. Louis, you're playing with guys like Ryan O'Reilly and just unbelievably strong leaders and big time performers. What have you learned from players like that who are, you know, the ones that you see on the jerseys and the ones that you see, you know, lifted to the rafters? What have been your big takeaways?
I think they all have one thing in common. And it's the work that they put in. You know, they go to the rink and they go to the rink to put the work boots on, and then that's it. I've noticed that as I've slowly gotten older too, is that guys that play good and play good consistently to go to the rink, do their job, and that's it. You know, there's no bitching. There's nothing going on like that. They all just work their ass off. And I think as a guy that plays, you know, that has played predominantly in the AHL, and when I do get called up and you see guys like that who have played 700, 800, 1,000 games, you know, 1,100, 1,200 games, and they're still going to the rink after all those games and still putting in the same amount of work as they did when they first came to the league, I think when I see that, it's like, wow, that's how you'd be a true pro. And, you know, that's how they're getting the names put up in the rafters and, you know, winning Conn Smythe, winning the cups, you know, winning the Art Ross Trophy. I think that's a huge thing for me to see that.
Yeah. Now let's talk a little bit about your family, because I know you're a very dedicated family man. You want to tell us a little bit about your personal life away from the rink?
Yeah. You know, I got a beautiful wife, Taylor, beautiful little daughter, Winter. And we're expecting a little baby boy, you know, in the next 4 weeks or so, yeah. 4 or 5 weeks. We got a little family growing back home, and we know we're looking for a house now, kind of in our neighborhood as well. So it's, you know, slowly growing, and it's, you know, it's great. I love being around the family, you know, especially the extended family too. When we have them over for a barbecue and whatnot, it's great. No, it's really good.
And how did you and Taylor meet?
So her cousin was my next door neighbor. So we, you know, she would obviously go over and hang out with her cousin, and I would see her every now and then. And, I played rugby with a lot of her school friends as well. So we would kind of see each other that way too. And then eventually just led to, you know, going out on a date and kind of hanging out that way.
How do you, and Alan, you'd know this from having two kids. I have a little girl. One was enough for me. I don't know how you guys went in for seconds, but the thing that got me, guys, the thing that made it hard for me was the sleep thing. In the first 6 months when they don't sleep, how do you manage playing professional hockey and having a kid that's up every 2 to 3 hours?
I think
quite the reaction right there.
my wife obviously does a lot of stuff. I mean, Taylor was, you know, whenever it was a night before a game or a game day or anything like that, it's, you know, she does everything. And, you know, I'll obviously tip my hat to that, because I don't know how she does it. It's crazy. Like, during the middle of the week, if we had no game, I'd be waking up with the little one, and it'd only be 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and I'd be absolutely juiced. I'd be so tired. And so I, you know, hats off to all the women that do that. It's crazy. I don't know how they do it, but it's great when they do.
It's not just that, but the travel a lot of the wives undertake with young kids, without their husbands with them. It's just unbelievable thinking of them, you know, by themselves with the kids, navigating luggage, all kinds of things through airports, long flights, you know, all by themselves with newborns or 6-month-olds. It's not an easy thing to do.
No, you're right. I mean, when Taylor came over with Winter, and Winter's obviously, I think she's got my energy and my kind of personality. So she's into everything. You know, she's curious. She's running around and trying to control her in the airport when you got to sit at the gate and wait for your flight or be on an airplane for 15 hours definitely wasn't easy. I remember Tay calling me and just being like, you better make it worth it, us coming over. This is crazy. I don't know how she's going to do it with two kids. I don't know if I'll be able to get away from flying by myself with that one, but
she's definitely be short-handed the whole time. What's that? She'll be short-handed the whole time.
Oh, I don't know how she's going to do it. But no, that's definitely a big thing too. I think the wives that travel with the kids is, I don't know how they do it, but they somehow managed to do it and get away with it. It's crazy because we flew from St. Louis to Hartford with just winter, and that was me and Taylor as well. And I looked at Tay saying, I don't know how you did this by yourself. She'd be up and down the plane. She's running up and down the aisles. It was like, this, she's nuts. But no, it's all good. The work they put in is incredible. It is. It's truly amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah. And now you're in the lineup every night with St. Louis, and you had a hat trick this year. Why don't you tell us about that game?
Yeah, that was pretty special too. I remember getting called up. It was during the COVID, when the COVID kind of hit us again. So they were, they're down a few bodies, and I ended up getting the call up. And I just remember playing that game, and that first puck when it went in, I was like, oh, that's unreal. I get a goal. Get one goal, that's nice. And then the next one went in, I was like, holy shit, that's two goals right now. And then thinking to myself, that was two goals in the first period, so maybe I got a chance to get a hat trick here. And I think I honestly could have had four or five goals that game. It was kind of, the puck was just kind of finding my stick. But no, that was definitely a special moment too.
Yeah, there was a video that the Blues posted after the game with Mr. Stillman, the owner of the Blues, coming into the room to congratulate you personally on the hat trick.
Yeah, no, he did come in. Yeah, that was really nice. That was a really nice gesture of him to come in. And, I'll never forget that too. That was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you recently scored a goal. I think it was last week you scored. And I was following, I had like four or five games on at the same time on different screens. And I watched the goal, but pretty soon after the game, I got a text message from David Perron saying, what a goal by Nate. And it was a group text with Nate on it as well. And Nathan wrote back, I was waiting for the text from Walshy.
we said before the game, we said, if you score on that Walsh, you'll probably get a text off Walshy. So then after the game, we're stretching and he said, has Walshy texted you yet? I said, nah, nothing yet. So that's when he sent you the message.
Nathan, David Perron seems like a fun guy. Like, we had him on the show to launch the show. It was our first episode. Yeah. He seems like a very quietly funny person. What's he like as a teammate?
He's great. I go back to, you see guys who have played so many games in the league because they go to the rink and they work hard. I think he's the epitome of that. And it's, like I said before, for a guy like me to come in and see a guy who's played so many games to still be working that hard, it's unreal. And then, obviously he's got great character too. He's a great teammate. He's loads of fun to be around. He loves to have a good joke here and there as well. So it's, he's a really good teammate for sure.
That's cool.
What's the best part to you of playing in the NHL? What's the thing you enjoy most?
I don't think there's one thing. I think it's just everything. I think the fact that this is my dream to play in the NHL, and right now I'm doing it, and that's obviously one of them. And you get all the nice little perks, I guess, that come with it as well. But I think just being able to, live out your dream and play, in the best league in the world is definitely, for me anyway, is the top of that list.
And staring down the playoffs too. I mean, you guys have got a great team. There's a lot to be excited about. Do you allow yourself to think about, I mean, obviously the next 10 games are the next 10 games and then it's the playoffs. Do you allow yourself to think about the beginning of May at all? Or is it just one game at a time, one game at a time?
For me personally, it's just one game at a time. Obviously I think being a guy that is getting called up and sent down and called up, you don't want to look kind of too far into that. So I've always kind of taken it one game at a time, and I think I will for the rest of my career. And But obviously, you know, you do see the schedule and you see the games are coming down, and then it's the fun time of the year. It's when all the games really, really do start to matter. And, you know, I mean, I'm looking forward to it, you know, as much as everyone else is looking forward to it, but it's going to be a great, a great time, and I'm really looking forward to it as well.
Wow. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your off-season training? Because I know you to be a guy who comes into training camp every year in unbelievable shape. And that's the feedback I've gotten from NHL teams since we started working together. What is your training regimen like? What are some of the things you do that might be a little bit different than everybody else?
I'd like to say that I wrestle crocodiles and swim for sharks, but that's not really
That's what I was looking for.
That's the kind of thing that sells a podcast episode, just so you know. Yeah.
I wish I could wrestle crocodiles. That'd be unreal.
There's always time. There's always time.
Maybe one day. Maybe I'll have to get a photo. Maybe an inflatable one.
Yeah. Great idea.
No, it just kind of starts off pretty slow the first few weeks. You know, I usually give myself a couple of weeks to kind of wind down from the season and not really do much and, you know, clear my head mentally and, you know, kind of get the body right. You know, where they got little minor aches and pains, kind of let those things go away before you start to ramp it up again. But it starts, you know, pretty slowly, just try to build those base muscles. And then I try to do a lot of explosive work, whether it's jumping or moving weight fast. And there's nothing really too crazy about it. I've kind of had the same program for a few years now, so I kind of just follow that. And obviously I think as I get older, I might have to watch what I eat and stay away from a couple of candies here and there, but
Ooh, who needs
yeah,
that?
That's the shitty part about it, but it's all right. but yeah, no, other than that, it's probably a lot of explosive work. And obviously I think, cause I'm not overly big on the ice, you know, I need to make sure I got those first couple steps quickly. And, you know, I don't skate a whole lot either, which I think is good. You know, kind of, like I said, clear my mind away from the hockey side of things for a bit. And then once it's time to ramp things back up, then I start getting on the ice a bit more.
Okay. Now, you, I believe it was last offseason or maybe the offseason before, you were building your house with your dad?
Yeah, we actually built a gym in the back of my in-law's house in the backyard. They had all these beautiful trees, palm trees, you know, these native Australian trees that looked really nice. So we ended up chopping all those trees down in my in-law's place and put this big metal shed on there. It looked beautiful. But no, I ended up with COVID back home. I was going to public gyms before that. And then when COVID hit, they obviously shut down all the gyms. So I couldn't really work out and do my workouts I needed to do. So I just said to my dad, why don't we just build a gym? So we ended up getting all this material in, and my dad and I, with the help of some of my building buddies back home, ended up building this gym. And, you know, that's where I've been working out ever since.
That's incredible. So where'd you get the gym equipment? You just went and bought it all and stacked it in there. What do you have in there?
I got everything. I got treadmills, bikes, assault bikes, squat racks, sled. I pretty much got everything that a full athlete gym would want. Obviously, it's not super big, but it's just big enough. Mm-hmm. I found a lot of stuff on Facebook Marketplace, believe it or not, all the weights and everything.
Amazing. That's so good.
I mean, you know, I don't need any brand new stuff. I just needed the basics and everything. But I ended up getting a treadmill as well, which was good. I think I needed one of those in there. But mostly Facebook Marketplace. Had a one of my good friends works for a gym flooring company too, so got a good price and all that. Little mismatched colors, but does the job.
Right. Well, it's not the aesthetics, right? It's all about the function.
No, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And for anybody raised in Australia, you have to ask about the beaches. Were you a bit of a beach bum growing up? Did you spend a lot of time out there?
I think so. Yeah. When we're younger, we, you know, especially in the summer months, you know, my dad would take us out on a boat and we go wakeboarding for a bit after school. And, you know, the sun doesn't set for 8:30, 9 o'clock or so. So we'd be on the boat for a couple hours wakeboarding with my brother and my dad. And on the weekends, I go with my school buddies and hockey friends. We go down to the beach for a few hours and crash on the waves there. And no, that was great. That's probably the big thing that I do miss about going home. Because when I'm home, obviously it's winter time, so it's a little bit chillier. But I mean, just the being able to walk with a coffee in your hand and listen to the waves crash and smell that salty air, I think it's something about it. It's relaxing, and it's you know, there's something about it, I think, that kind of just mellows you out and chills you. It's you know, it's really good. It's really good back home, man.
I have a question about the wakeboarding.
Yeah.
For a second. And the reason I have a question about the wakeboarding is, if Australia is anything like Florida is, there's crocs everywhere in fresh water. Is that true in Australia? Is that true where you wakeboard? Because I know what they'll do is they'll run a boat up and down until everything sort of gets out of the way. And they'll, like my dad water skied in Florida, you know, where their crocs are there. Or they, in that case, it's the Gators. Is that the case for you as well? Like, do you have to kind of watch out for that, or was it gator free?
Where we kind of live, it's gator free. If you were to go up north to Australia, that's kind of where the crocodiles hang out. But there was a bull shark once in the river where we would wakeboard. That was pretty scary to hear, because obviously they don't really care who you are. They'll take a nibble out of you and just kind of keep eating you. So
100%.
Yeah, no, that was scary when I heard that. But we never encountered anything. If anything, it was like jelly blubbers, like little jellyfish, or stingrays, kind of. They were, but they wouldn't really do much. You know, you kind of step on a stingray, they kind of swim away. Nothing, no big ones or anything like that. But never encountered any crocs or sharks.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I remember I said, my dad took video doing this. I had to ask you, because I'm like, this is crazy. I would never do that. But
never. We haven't encountered anything. Thank goodness for that.
I also want to say that you both, you know, Alan lives in LA. Nathan, you're in Australia. And as a Canadian, I'm so jealous to hear that people can go swimming after school. Or go, you know, do water sports after school. That's not something that, you know, in the wintertime doesn't happen here.
Yeah, true. I mean, if you go down to the beach in summertime, the beaches are packed. They're loaded with surfers, bodyboarders, just beachgoers. It's crazy. I got a funny story about me surfing. So my brother goes out surfing with his buddy, and I'll tag along every time I'm home as well. And I asked Taylor to come one day. I was like, oh, do you want to come watch us surf this one afternoon? So she, you know, she packs up a little picnic box, sits down, watches us surf. And because of the amount of surface, it's hard to get on the waves. So I paddle out there and I sit out the back waiting for the waves to come. I don't catch a wave for 2 hours. I just sit out there, talk to everyone that comes by. And it's been 2 hours, haven't caught in a wave yet. Just still chilling out there, end up paddling back in, don't even catch a wave in, end up paddling in, go up to my wife and say, all right, well, I'm good to go. She goes, I've been watching you for 2 hours. You've done nothing. You just sat and talked to everyone for 2 hours and then came in. It's like, well, that's what I do. I don't actually, you thought I actually surf? No, I just go out there, chill out and come back. You just said, you idiot.
Knowing Taylor, she would have sent you back out there to actually surf before letting you get out of the water.
Yeah, I'm surprised she did. I think she was cold at that point. That's probably why she wanted to go home. But to this day, she's never come back and watched me surf.
What a shock.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, you've got about 10 games left in the season, heading into the playoffs. You're in the lineup every night. What do you think right now going into the last 10 games of the season? Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I think personally, I want to fine tune some things, you know, before getting to that playoff run. And I think as a team, you know, you want to be playing your best hockey going into playoffs. You don't want to have to try and find your best game during the playoffs. So I think those last 10 games are obviously going to be important. I think we're in a race with Minnesota right now for second, you know, which would be a huge home ice advantage. So. You know, I think we want to find our best game heading into, you know, game one of the playoffs here.
And players have been calling you Stormy. That's sort of a nickname that has been attached to you for a while. Where does that come from?
When we were playing inline hockey and my brother was playing, I had those, I would keep my shoes on and strap them into these plastic skates. Right. And I'd be skating around and they would just make such a ruckus. And I'd be breaking windows and just pushing over trash cans, just pretending like I'm playing hockey out there by myself. And kind of everywhere I went, I kind of left like a storm kind of went through and kind of ruined everything. So I think that's kind of where that originated from.
Yeah. Because if I have a teammate of yours reaching out to me about anything, it's always, hey, did you talk to Stormy about this? Or did you ask Stormy about that? It seems to have been the name that has attached to you all these years.
Yeah, no, it definitely has. I think, especially back home in Australia, I think a lot of people know my name now, but when I was a little younger, they didn't really know my first name. It was just Stormy. they didn't really know my first name at all. And that was kind of funny. But I think most people kind of know my first and last name now.
I think they figured it out.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. So why don't you tell the story about how we got together?
Yeah, because we were the first year in Hershey was when we started talking. Is that right?
Right.
And then, I just remember us kind of chatting away, and then that was pretty much it.
Alan, is there another part to this story that we should tell?
Sorry, am I missing something?
No, we'll leave it at that.
Oh, okay. All right, great.
I should probably know, shouldn't I?
Well, you were working with an agent who I think was getting out of the business.
That's right. Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Right? And he was friends with our partners in the agent business in Czech Republic.
Yeah.
And they called me one day and said, do you know Nathan Walker in Hershey? And I said, yeah, of course I do. And they said, would you like to work with him? I said, absolutely. So they passed your number on to me. And then I reached out to you, and that's how we started talking.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I should have.
It was so memorable.
That my bad. Oh, my. No,
that's awesome.
That was good. I do remember that now.
But I'm honored to refresh your recollection, Tom.
Alan, it clearly meant a lot to him.
It obviously did. It's ingrained in his memory.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. We didn't have gone out for dinner, did we?
No, I think we started working together about halfway through your year in Hershey.
Yeah, we did.
Which
yeah.
ended up being the year that you got drafted. So that would have been 2014.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's right. Yeah, no, good stuff.
Yeah. Now, I know that you have a very close relationship with your older brother. You've talked about him a little bit here. Why don't you talk a little bit about your relationship with him and what he means to you and the influence he's had over your life?
Yeah. I mean, he's my best friend. It's, you know, we've been together. Well, I guess I've been with him ever since I was born. He hasn't been with me when he was born. But, no, we were always doing stuff together. I mean, there's a big age gap. It's 7 or 8 years. So you kind of think, you know, when the age gap's that big, it mightn't be as close. But I mean, we were doing everything together, whether it was hockey stuff, you know, just kind of hanging out. We were, you know, we're super close. And I remember we would set up a little rink in our garage back home, and it was one-on-one, game on. I remember I tried to go through his legs and pull my stick over, but because I was way shorter than him at that time, my stick had to go so high up, and I ended up catching him right in the middle of the head and just split him open, and he still got the scar to this day. But no, we would do everything together, and we obviously would push each other. And his work ethic, he played, you know, pretty high level too, and he ended up playing in high school hockey in Minnesota as well. And his work ethics, you know, are through the charts, whether it's doing his job now that he's doing or when he was playing hockey, you know, he always wanted to be the guy that was working the hardest. And I think that kind of paid off a little bit with me, because I've always kind of had that mindset too, that, you know, if things aren't going well, it's not the end of the world. But if you're not working hard, then that's probably the reason why they're not going well. Right. But if you can always look at yourself in the mirror and said that you worked hard, you know, I think you can sleep a lot easier at night.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, listen, you've been incredibly generous with your time. You were with the Blues. You flew into Boston and headed to the hotel and raced upstairs to record this with us today, and really appreciate you making it a priority and jumping on when you did. It's probably time for dinner right now. You probably got some plans with some of the boys.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time. And it's always awesome to talk to you, and it's awesome to have you on the show.
Yeah, not a problem at all. Thank you very much for having me. No, it's been great. It's been good fun.
It's great to meet you. My favorite story was the one where you and Alan met. I loved it. It was
yeah. We got to come up. We got to come up with a better story.
Yeah,
we went somewhere cool or something like that.
Next time, it'll be. It'll definitely be better.